active rest. What? Active rest. Does that make sense? It's an oxymoron. The two don't seem to be the same. And yet, you really can't have one without the other. Our life in God, our walk in Christ, depends upon both. At the foundation of all things, God was active for how many days? Six. And on the seventh day, God rested. But rest is not passivity. I mean, anybody who has ever laid down for a good night's rest knows that actually you're not doing nothing. Things are happening in the middle of the night. I mean, when you are resting some muscles, other muscles are at work. When your mind goes into sleep, it remains active. And we dream, do we not? I had an interesting one last night. I won't go into it, but dreams are a way in which the restoring, and there's a word that we need to link with rest, restore, that the restoring power that is built into our body happens, processes, our mind is processing, we think, what happens throughout the day. That is often why my sermon is not done until after I have rested and after I have walked and after I step into the pulpit to preach. For God is at work in rest. Silence is not simply the absence of sound. Things happen in the quiet. Of course, if we are so busy about our lives, we don't take the time to be actively listening. Now, there is another seeming oxymoron, active listening. You know, you think that listening is such an ingrained thing, you don't really have to think about it. But active listening is focusing, it is intenting upon the one to whom you are paying attention, facing. Silence is active listening, even when we do not seem to hear anything. This morning's gospel story had to do with the calling of the disciples, the first few who happened to be, what was their occupation? They were fishers of fish. Pescador. I don't know Spanish well enough. Now, as I think about fishing, and I don't know all that much about it, but it would seem to me that the act of tossing a net, similar, I guess, to the act of, casting, a line into the water, involves a bit of quiet and ceasing of motion and focusing right before something happens. I mean, when you are tossing, you are seeing where it is that you are wanting to toss. You are envisioning where it is supposed to land, correct? I'm going by supposition here, folks. So let me know if I'm speaking wrongly. And then there is sort of a storing up of energy that happens before the toss. You need that ceasing of effort before the exertion, correct? I, as I was thinking ahead and planning this sermon, I was actually not envisioning a fisherman. I was thinking of my cats at the time and thinking how, you know, as they're chasing one another, how they are very still, you know, as they approach. You know, and they quietly come up. But you can see that they are not being necessarily still. They are actively resting. Correct? Those of you who have watched cats in action, before they pounce. Right? In a way, that is what it is with us and the rest that God provides. It is not a ceasing of effort. It is a re-energizing. It is a giving of what we need in order to take the next steps. And without that, can we truly make those steps? Can we truly be fishers of people without that sense of rest, which is a providing of what it is we need? Now, the psalmist talks about the silence and the hope and the sense of peace that we derive from placing all of this in God's hands. And it talks about God as being a rock, a fortress, a refuge. Refuges are places needed by refugees. People who, through their actions, whether for good or for ill, are in need of safety. In the Levitical, in the laws and Leviticus and elsewhere, we know that there were supposed to be cities that were refuges. They called them Levitical cities. One of them was Hebron. Shechem was another. Places where persons could flee from trouble and be assured of a safe place where they could rest away from their pursuers. In fact, we may see a little bit of this in a very familiar psalm, the 23rd Psalm, which talks about how in the presence of mine enemies, I am welcome to the Lord's table. My head is anointed, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, not my pursuer. Refuge, rest, active resting. That's the focus for today. As we, on this day, come to the Lord's table. Now, I know we are going to be sharing some bread and some grape juice and be doing a lot of remembering the process. We are remembering things that Jesus has done. But do recall that before the actions that we recall Jesus having done, there was a time of active rest. You know that after Jesus shared in a final meal with his disciples, he spent time in the Garden of Gethsemane. A time that was not the absence of action. It was very active time. It was prayer time. It was re-energizing time for what lay ahead. It was active rest. We come to the Lord's table not just to receive something to eat and drink, but to remember what God provides us each and every day as we rest in Him. Rest is a part of not just the weekly cycle, you know, the Sabbath day, keeping it holy, but also resting in the moments of our days as we face into things that are difficult, things that stretch us, things, well, to talk about our discipleship, things that involve our reaching out to other people, you know, that strange word evangelism. And I encouraged you to, you know, during the giving of the offering to not be thinking in grandiose ways that, you know, you can be tossing your net. Because usually it's the simple things that do it. The simple tossing of net activities and reaching out to other people. Thing that may not always come easily, but things that need to happen. In returning and rest, our strength is found.